Hey, fellas, great job. That would make you run around the block to kiss your mother-in-law right in the mouth. That's good, good stuff. Mrs. Colson, I love you. I was standing talking. I'm always talking. I was standing over here with some young people, and I saw her coming. I thought, can't be. And she walked all the way to where I was and gave me a big hug. After all these years, said, I still love you. I love you. You want to get married? Never mind. I wouldn't embarrass you. I love you. I'm glad for the veterans to be here tonight, and I mean that. Listen to me for just a second. If you get around a lot of veterans, you're going to think it will be a fist fight. You really will. But there's such a camaraderie, they can pick on each other. They can say things they don't want you to say, all right? But we, as veterans, have to be careful because some people do get offended. You have to be careful what you say. I was at Mark Bentley's church in Omaha, Nebraska. I think his daughter's here going to college. I know she is. I saw her somewhere. But anyway, I got up one night and I said, there's a guy there, a black guy, that was in Korea, and he married a nurse from there who's from that country. But now they live in Omaha, Nebraska. And me and he are always picking on each other. Somebody gave me a little Marine Corps doll. You press his thumb and you get the Marine Corps M. But he got me an Air Force one. Yeah. So one day I was up there and I made this statement. I said, you know, there's the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Brownies, and the Air Force. Not knowing, I was having a ha-ha, I thought. The preacher said, we're going over to a house for lunch today. We got to that house. There's that couple. It's their home. And he's coming toward me, and she is hitting him in the back. Don't you tell him. Don't you tell him. Don't you tell him. Being from South Korea, she thought I was saying brown because of the color of his skin. Sometimes you have to be careful what you say. Amen. So, Air Force, I want you to know you're just a little bit, not much, below the Brownies. Okay. Amen. Boy, it's been a good day, hasn't it? Hey, this has been a good weekend. Watch this carefully. If one person got saved, it'd been worth what you had to do to help this weekend. Praise God. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. And while you're finding that, let me say this to you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this weekend. This has been great. I've picked on Brother Eddie, Brother Roy. I've picked on people. I even picked on the English teachers out at the college. Sorry. So you got to be careful at times. Sometimes people can't take picking on. I got out to go out to eat last night with the head deacon. The reason I did that, because I know who has the purse around here. Everybody's treated me just great. I told the preachers today, we were together, and I said, you know what? You've trained the people here to love people. And you do. You literally know how to make a nobody feel like a somebody. And you don't know how much I appreciate that. Thank you for the food. Oh, man. I'm standing up in the jail. They must have known something about me that I didn't know they knew. But it's been great. Absolutely amazing. And I thank you. I got to preach over at the high school and the college and the RU. The men's breakfast. There was nobody there that morning early, that early, to hear me preach. They was there for the breakfast. Amen. But we had a great, great time. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to do this just a little different tonight, but I usually read the whole chapter. I'm not going to do that. Look with me at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. for resisting the proud and giving grace to the humble. He said, be clothed with humility. Now watch this carefully. To be clothed means to put on. Listen, you're not humble by nature. You have to put it on. We think women are vain because it takes 14 walk-in closets for their shoes and purses, let alone their clothes. Amen? But we sure do like it when they look pretty. Amen. Sometimes I'll get up and I put on clothes out of the closet while my wife is out doing things in the kitchen or getting ready for her Sunday school class or her children's church or the choir, whatever. And I'll walk out and she'll say, you're not wearing that. And she'll say, that don't match. I said, bless God, it does today. Man, you're telling me how to dress. Amen. If you wanted me to wear something different, you should have got up, ironed it, and laid it out. Amen. When we put on clothes, most of the time we're putting it on to match, to fit properly, and to please who? Hello? When we put on something such as humility, God wants us to put on what pleases Him. Then you get to the next verse I want you to look at real fast in verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting means to throw. Cast all your bread upon the water. Amen. You're throwing it out there. If you're fishing, you cast out there. You're throwing it out there. Correct? What he said in that verse, in water flow New Mexico language, he's meaning, it's what it means. Throw whatever your problem's on, whatever problems you have, throw them on God. He can catch them and He can handle them. Cast all your care upon the Lord. Verse 13, he said this, the churches that at Babylon elect together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus, my son. He said, you know what? You ought to even go to the tough places. You ought to go to the rough places. I guarantee you, if we would be honest with ourselves, there's neighborhoods in every major city, including Chicago, that you wouldn't feel comfortable having your teenage daughter drive through by herself. But those people need Jesus too. Amen. And then what I want to preach on tonight is this, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while. Yeah, well, listen to me carefully. Every one of us goes through tough times. I said it this morning, I'll say it again, and I don't mean any disrespect whatsoever. This church went through a tough time. But aren't you glad it was for a little while? Man, listen carefully. You are doing things that very few, if any, other churches in the world are doing. You're constantly witnessing, passing out gospel tracts, building a work for God. You ought to be thrilled to death about that. But watch what else he said there. As you suffer a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I've asked a man and his son to come help me preach this tonight. Would you guys come this way, please? I want you to know what I have to go through. I have to look at this too, so just come ahead. Help me out. Where's that thing that orchestra guy stands on? Is it still here? No? Right there. Go give me that. Hurry, son. Jesus is coming. Set it right here. Okay? Stand on it. You come with me. What's your name? Camden. Who?
Camden.
Camden? Camden, are you married?
No.
Good. Because you and I are going to preach together tonight, and we're going to say something about women. And I don't want your wife getting mad at you, so I'm glad you're not married, okay? All right. Camden. Jesus here is wanting to do something for everybody. Peter is trying to show us what that is. You got me so far? Okay. This is going to be the worst illustration in preaching history. So you got to help me. Because we're going to pretend that's God. Worst illustration in history. But we're just going to have to do it. Okay, buddy? Can you do that for a little while? Stomach that for just... Okay. Now come over here and look at my Bible. You can read. He said... By the way, this is the same Peter that walked on water. This is the same Peter that denied the Lord three times. This is the same Peter that followed him far off, and we preach against that. But John was the only one that was close. Peter was the next closest. Where was the rest of them? So I'll leave that one alone to go on. Now, watch this. He said, "It make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, that's in the Bible, right? Now, let me give you what he's talking about here. I want you to help me, okay? God wants to take a young man or a old man or a young woman or a young woman, and he wants to make you perfect. Did you know only God can make you perfect? Do you know you're not perfect till you're saved? It'd be dumb to think you're some great person and die and go to hell, wouldn't it? So you're not perfect, you're not mature, you're not complete without the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Jesus wants, what the Lord wants you to do is come to Him and trust in Him. Okay, stand there a minute. So Peter is saying, I want you folks to trust Christ, depend upon Christ. Someone was making fun the other day. I was at a church somewhere preaching, and I was picking on everybody, so naturally picked back on me. And the orchestra over here at this particular church had a cymbal and a drum set. That was something. I forget what it was. But what the preacher who's going to preach before me was praying for the sermon. As he began to pray, every instrument over there started falling down. The round drum was going boom, boom as it folded. And it was the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life. I'm sitting on the front row. I'm jumping. If you come up behind me, I'm going to go to the jail and you're going to the hospital. But anyway, when that happened, I looked to see if it, because you know, you hear all kinds of weird things happening in churches anymore. I thought, how many people am I have to kill to get out of here? This dear brother, bless his heart, just kept on praying. Well, we made fun of that kid, so he's over trying to catch things, and the more he's trying to catch, the more he's knocking over. And the next day, we're standing outside, and one of the men in that church said, "Hey, I thought the rapture took place, and Brother Chitty was left behind." And I made this statement, "If Jesus can't get me there, ain't going to make it anyway." God wants you to get to that point where you need to realize that. Your religion cannot get you there. Your denomination cannot get there. Your traditions cannot get you there. By the way, your denomination can't even get you there. But Jesus can, and Jesus alone. So the first thing Peter's saying that God wants to do for you is make sure you're saved. Amen. You should go after you get saved to the rough places. Even Indian country. Whether you like this or not, the Indian people have been ill-treated and treated wrong for years. We capture them, we take them to a certain place, and it's costing too much to keep them in that place, so we send them out to a place, and you make fun of me. Not every tribe, but the Navajo people were put out on the desert where there's no water, no way to grow anything. It's sandstone. Nothing to hunt. There's no animals there. No water to fish in. They put them out there to die. And he said, "I want you to go even to the hard place." You've probably heard this story before. I preached to my wife and two kids 3.5 years before anybody came to church. I came out of work one time to go home on a Wednesday night to preach to my wife and two boys. Now, my boys are preachers, and they say it different than I would say it. They're like their mother. They'll lie once in a while. And they'll say, My daddy would say, all right, ushers, you come and we'll take up the offering today. Me and my brother would take up my daddy's offering. My daddy would say, all right, the Chitty family's going to come sing before the message. And me and my brother and my mother would sing to my daddy. Well, I didn't think anything about it. I was just a dumb. I wanted to just keep on going, right? I showed up one Wednesday night from work to preach to my wife and two boys, and 79 Indians showed up. 79. I like to tell everybody that I grew from 0 to 79 in one day. It only took me 3.5 years to get to that one day. We got in there, and I preached everything you can preach about salvation and going to heaven right out of the Bible. And I must have preached from like 7, 9:30, 10 o'clock. I gave the invitation, so excited. Man, I got 79 people in church. No running water, no electricity, but we had a church. And I gave the invitation, and nobody moved. And not one person moved. So I flipped over to Revelation. Preached another 30 to 45 minutes. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's cast into the lake of the fire. Boy, and I was letting it rip. I gave the invitation a second time, and no one moved. I prayed with a broken heart and said, you're dismissed. And nobody moved. And I'm thinking, we preached it in Navajo and in English. They had to understand it. A 17-year-old junior in high school, hair down to his shoulders. He's in his 50s now, almost 60, and he's still with me. He stood up, and he said, we can't go home. And I'm thinking, I've got my wife and I and our two boys and two Navajo kids we're raising in a 19-foot borrowed travel trailer. I didn't say it, but I was thinking, you ain't going home with me. But this is what I said. I said, why can't you go home? And that young 17-year-old boy stood up and said this, we're afraid we'll go to hell. Now, I could have said, hey, stupid, you just heard the greatest preacher in the world. But I said this, 1, 2, 3, 4, don't move. 5, 6, 7, 8. Back half, come out of the side with me. We had an old church building I'd thrown together, only had one door. No heat, no air conditioner, no electricity, no running water. My wife kept that group. I took that group outside. And my wife and I went through the plan of salvation as if we were talking to an 8-year-old granddaughter. These people had never, my wife and I, our two boys, the only ones had Bibles. They had never been in a church. I had had that same experience in my life. So I tried to be as kind and gracious as I could to them. Took them back into the auditorium. We sat down, and about 11:30 at night, I watched 79 people bow their head and trust Christ as their Savior. It'd take me too long to explain this, but the Navajos are a matriotic society, not a patriotic society. Women run everything. All you women say amen. Now, so what you would call a chief, they call a clan mother. She's in charge. They live in different clans, and each clan has a clan mother. She's in charge. I did not know that I had a clan mother that night because I didn't know any of the people. And this woman stands up. And she said, now that we're saved, what do we do next? And I went, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I said, hey, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You need to be in the house of God every time it's preached, every time the door's open, and you need to gain in faith. And she said, we'll be there. And when the clan mother says we'll be there, you're going to be there. And then this happened. Then what else? And I'm thinking, oh, it's too good to be true. I said, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And she said, we'll all get baptized then. I thought, wow, this is better good. I said, I'm going to go to Farmington, New Mexico, and buy me a horse trough. And we didn't have any water. I'm a whole water in milk jugs and buckets, whatever I can find. And I'm going to fill it up, set it out in the sun, and let it warm up. And Sunday, anybody wants to get baptized, I'm going to baptize. And she said, there's water outside. And she's talking about a little irrigation canal. Sometimes dead goats are floating in. It looks like chocolate syrup. It's so muddy. And dummy, I said, oh, you don't want to be in that water. And that heifer said, it ain't too good for us. What about you? I hate spiritual women. Been saved 5 minutes. You already trying to tell me how to run this good night. Ooh. In the midnight hour, pick up trucks, cars, the bus I had, lights on in the midnight hour, and we baptized 79 people that night. 6 months later, I was running 250 people. Amen. It's okay to go to the tough places. Amen. They need Jesus just like we do. But then he said, I want you to be mature. I want you to be perfect. You know what, buddy? He don't want you just to get saved. Does anybody listen to me? He wants him to get saved, amen? He wants you to get saved. He wants me to get saved. But he don't want me just to get saved. He wants me to grow in his grace and knowledge. He even goes so far to preach on it in the Bible about babes in Christ who desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. The milk comes from the cow, but the cow is the meat. I don't want the milk, I want the cow. Amen. And he goes on there and he talks about all of that stuff that you should be talking about. And he says, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to grow once you get saved in my grace and knowledge because I love you. I loved you so much, I'm willing to die for you. I did this week, I don't know when, I'm old. Can you imagine when the holy men of God spoke, they were moved by the Holy Ghost and God was telling them what to write down in the Bible? We'll get cowed down because somebody said, well, men wrote the Bible. Yes, they did. But it was God himself telling them what to write. And now all these modernists, these liberalists are telling you that you can't go by the first five books of the Bible because Moses wasn't even there. Moses may not have been there, but the one telling him what to write down was there. Amen. And we go through that with everybody like we're dumb and they're smart and we're not, and we cow down. We need to realize that we don't need to stay as babies in Christ. We need to do better than that. A little girl, mama tucked her in the bed upstairs and put the covers over, give her a kiss and say, baby, I love you. Mommy, I'll see you in the morning. She went back down to clean the kitchen and get things ready, but she heard a loud thud and a girl crying. She rushed upstairs as hard as she could, fast as she could, and she picked the little girl off the floor. She said, sweetie, are you okay? Looks like you fell out of the bed. Are you okay? Are you? She said, yes, mommy. She said, sweetheart, what happened? And the little girl said, mommy, I stayed too close to where I got in. God wants to save you, son, whether you like this or not. But he just don't want you to stay too close to where you got in. He wants you growing in his grace and knowledge. That's maturity. That's going to be perfect in this wicked, wicked world. And then he said this. He said to make you perfect and establish you. And I don't have time, but if you went to Psalm 40 in the first three verses, that's where all preachers get that from, that save, share, and serving. And that's what God's plan is for us, save, share, serving. It talks about this also. We get into the miry clay. We get in that part where it seems like we're just sinking. Here's what happens. We get a little bit away from God. And we stand in the mire. Quicksand, we call it out in New Mexico. And we get there. And we're not no longer on solid ground. Not at all. And you know what? Once you get in the quicksand, Do you realize the more you fight it, the deeper you get? So that gets us further away from God. We know we're supposed to be over there, but we're in the mire, and we're not going to go what we know we should do. And the more we fight her, the deeper we get. Amen. But God is able to take us out of the miry clay and get us back on solid ground. The Holy Spirit's job, and let me stop and say this to you Baptists, the Holy Spirit is real. Amen. And He'll take you back if you'll go back. He's not going to grab you by the neck and push you and shove you. He is going to lead, and you can follow if you want to or not. You can follow back to God if you wanted to. Not only mature, but established. But established. God can get you out of, He can get you back where you're going. But here's the problem. Watch this. It just came to me. Let me show you one more thing. You get over here, and this is what happens in most Christians' lives. Now, I'm not your pastor. I love you. I'm trying to help you. I promise you I'm trying to help you. In a minute, I'm going to get to something that's going to really help you. Here's what happens. We get out of church. We get in the mire of the world. We go back to church, rededicate our life, and get right with God. Then we come right back. How many times do we do that? Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering? Boy, we'd all be gone if God wasn't long-suffering. In and out. We call that yo-yo religion. Up and down. Up and down. Instead of staying over here where God wants you. Because He wants you established. He wants you to understand the power of God. We act as if we can handle it ourselves. My wife says that all men have an invisible tattoo on their forehead that God puts there at birth. And it says M-A-N. Because you women are mean. I hate spiritual women. And she says that because you are that man, you can never admit you messed up. And the worst thing you can't admit is you need God. You see, honey, just listen. I'm going to work this thing out. It's going to be okay. Really? Not without God, it won't be okay. So He wants to establish you. And then He says something else there. Watch this carefully. He said in verse 5, to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, 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 strengthen. My wife and I have two boys. Now, we made an agreement. If I had the kids, she could name them, but if she had them, I'd get the name. So I named the first one Don Jr. The second one was supposed to be a girl, Teresa Don, and call her Terry Don. Yes! But it came out a boy. So I named him Larry Don. Amen? Now, my oldest son, as a kid, as a teenage boy, as a young man, literally looked like Hercules. Whoa. He could sit flat on a gym floor with his feet out, take a rope, using nothing but his hands, climb all the way to the top, up there like this building, and all the way back down without getting a breath out of breath. The youngest son was about this big around. He was so small that if he drank tomato juice, he would look like a thermometer. And I named him Winnie Arm. I mean, that was his nickname, Winnie Arm. They would lift weights, and my oldest son would put all the weights we could afford to buy, clean and jerk, and I'm sorry, and not even break a sweat. Winnie Arm would tell his brother, take some of the weights off. I'm going to try. And it got to the point the only thing he could lift was the bar itself. with no weights on it. And it took him months before he could get to that point. Weenie arm just couldn't get it done. Could not get it done. Judy, you know who I'm talking about. You know my son. Eddie knows my son. Weenie arm could not help do things. They would bring it in. We were building our auditorium, and I was using 16-foot tuba sixes. And I had them on a flatbed trailer, and I backed it up to the door. And it was just me and my boys, and they were just little boys at the time. And I said, get those boards unloaded while I'm getting tools and nails ready. My oldest board looked like Hercules, would take six of those 16-foot tuba fours and carry them in. Go get six more. Weenie arm, one board. And he would, to get the one across there, to put it in. His older brother finally got mad at him and said, Weenie arm, you're lazy, you're sorry. I'm bringing six, you're bringing one. And Weenie arm said, you bring half of them in, stop, I'll bring the rest of my half. You bring your old at one time, or I'll bring one at a time. I'll get my part done. And they got to begin to argue. Weenie arm was a weenie arm human being. This problem is some of us Christians are weenie arm Christians. And if you are, at least lift the bar. Everybody can do something. You may not be the greatest soul winner in the house, but you don't have to be good at it. You just have to be at it. If you can't lift a heavy weight, bless God, lift the bar. But do something for God. Have the strength that God would want you to have. I don't know how to straighten this up. Just do it. We need to be strong enough in the Lord to fight ourselves, to fight the world, to fight the devil. And I've had someone ask me before, how strong do I have to be? How strong do I need to be, Pastor? How strong do I need to be? And I thought about that for a little while. I would like to have a strong mind. Unless you're in your 70s or older, you don't understand this. I would love to have a strong mind. It ain't going to happen. My wife and I will be talking. And she'll say something that sends my mind over there. And I'm thinking about it so hard that I forget what we're talking about. And she'll say, hello, are you still with us? Hello, are you still with us? Well, yeah, I'm sitting right here. What's wrong with you? My weak mind was over there. I would like to be strong enough and bold enough to witness to every human I ever come in contact with. In the 1850s, a man named Storrow said, I've won someone to the Lord every way Jesus did, except up a tree and on a cross. And as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going after them. Amen. We can get one if we want one. I would like to be strong enough to be a powerful preacher. I'm probably the worst pastor to ever live, one of the worst preachers that ever lived. But I wish I had the power of God when I preach that lost people get saved and saved people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how strong does a Christian really have to be? Brother Judah, come up here. I want you to grab God's arm and hold on as tight as you can. Now, guys, as bad as the illustration this was, this is the best illustration that's ever been used. That's the devil. This is God. This is the devil. And this is the average Christian. How strong, seriously, does the average Christian have to be? You know why that's important? Because the devil is going to try to pull him away from God. So how strong does he need to be? Oh, no. Hey, don't let God go, son. Don't let God go. Don't let God go. All right, thank you, guys. Watch this carefully. Here's how strong you have to be as a good Christian. Are you listening? Strong enough to hold on to God. Strong enough to hold on to God. He said in these verses, he wanted to make us perfect, mature. He wants to establish us. He wants to strengthen us. Hang on to God. Even when the devil's pulling, that's how strong you must be. Strong enough to hold on to God. One more person I need. Most of you know pastoring a church is not an easy task. Sometimes you get mad at what the pastor preaches. And sometimes you don't realize. Let me say this to you people that don't know. When a pastor sits and studies the Bible to preach, guess who's giving him that message? And he don't hold the punches. I guarantee you, where you think the preacher is hard on you, you listen to me a second. It's not near as hard or half as hard as what God gave it to him with it. Amen. I would not, for $1 million, maybe $2 million, but not for $1 million, I would not embarrass your pastor. I'm honored to be in his presence. I really am. And I wouldn't hurt him in any shape, form, or fashion. Preacher, I don't know where you are. You've got these, you guys have got the brightest light. People. Where's Brother Wilkes? Did you get your wife's permission? Mrs. Preacher, is it all right if he comes up here? Okay. Don't you come sit right here, preacher, please. We're talking about Peter saying this is what God wants to do for you. What God wants to do is get you saved. Amen? Guess what? I can't save you. He can't. Sit down, preacher, get comfortable. He can't save you. This church can't save you. The baptism waters can't save you. But Jesus can. That's what he wants to understand. That's the maturity. That's becoming perfect. But then after that, he wants to establish you in the faith. And to do that, you know what he's got to do? Strengthen you. You're not a weenie arm, are you? No, sir. No, sir. But watch this carefully. The devil's going to fight and try to pull you away from God. Okay? What God wants to do is get you to a point where you are saved, sure, serving. But that's not where he wants to leave you. He wants to take you from salvation to established, strengthened, to settled. This man is settled. You couldn't change this man with a shotgun. By the way, you ought to praise God for that. He knows what Bible to use. He knows what music to use. He knows what church to be in. And he depends on God for his power. And what some of you don't realize, and you listen to me carefully. Ain't no man telling me what to do. He ain't God. Dictator. And you, listen to me. You, go ahead and tie the stone around your neck and go drown in the sea. Because God himself will push you toward his man. You know why? He wants you to be settled. The state of Florida, from where I am, was a preacher who went to one of the top, in my opinion, Christian colleges in the world. He was saved. He was established. He was strong. Started a church down in Florida in a storefront. Built a beautiful building, and he was just going great. Recently, he had to get out of the ministry because he got a DWI. A pastor, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church in the state of Florida. Can I tell you why? Now, you're going to disagree, but that's okay. Come back over here, Peter. I mean, Jim, Joe. What happened is he got mature, got saved, he got established. Still with me? He even got strengthened. Went to that Christian college, learned everything he could. And you say, I don't think he was saved. Then you believe in work salvation. Let me tell you something. A saved person can be just as guilty as any sin that a lost person can be. That's why you got to stay close to God and be strong enough to hold on to God. But God wants to take you from being saved, from being established. He wants to strengthen you, but watch this carefully. He wants to take you from that all the way to settled. Amen. This same Peter, settled. Did you realize that? Come here, I got to help you one more time. I was promised a hamburger if I'd go quick, so listen to me. Watch this carefully. I was in New Mexico in 1974. I'd finished all my college work, but I'd went out there and it broke my heart what was happening. So I decided to stay. Dr. Robson heard I was had decided to stay. He got a hold of me and asked me if I would come back long enough to walk with my down the aisle with my class, and I agreed to it. I went back to the mission field as soon as I could leave that graduation and go. I never went on deputation. I'm not saying that to talk you into not doing it. I'm saying I didn't. And watch this carefully. The first year, nobody came to church. And I'm telling you the truth. We had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, soul winning, Saturday bus calls, as if we were running 1,000. And I did this for a full year. Not one person showed up. Not one. Not one. I came home, and I told my wife, ladies, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to tell you. My wife lived 5.5 years in a short 19-foot travel trailer without running water or electricity. So this man could have a ministry. You stand with me? She would have to go haul water while I was at work, wherever she could find it, trade post or whatever. And I came home and I told that woman, pack everything, get in the truck, we're going back to Florida. Did I ever tell y'all I hate spiritual women? Because she said this, I thought God called you. Ooh. So I stayed the second year. Still with me? Still with me? After the second year, I come to her and I said, listen, I don't care if God's, I had it. And I said, I don't care if God's called me or not. Pack it up. We're gone. And she said, okay, but can the boys and I take a different vehicle to Florida than you're going to be in? And I said, you can't not be that ignorant. We're both going. We're all going to the same place. Why do you want to take two vehicles? She said, because God's going to kill you. I hate spiritual women. So I stayed the third year. Now listen to this third year part, because you men better not make the same mistake I made. I come down the hill and I said, listen, I don't even want to hear you breathe. Don't say a word to me. Just pack up and get in the truck. And she did. Started packing up. I locked the door to that borrowed travel trailer, and I was going to take the key by the guys. We're leaving town. Fellas, I made the worst mistake I've ever made in my life. Tonight, I could be in Florida playing shuffleboard. And a dummy like me, I said, anything you want to say? Oh, mercy. And I wish I could tell you that Jack Howes or Lee Robertson or some great man taught me this, but it was my little 5-foot-1 wife with tears falling down her face so hard. She looked at me when I asked her if she wanted to say anything, and she said, "Why don't you forget quitting?" You know what the problem was, brother? She was settled, and I was not. Amen. I grabbed her and my two boys and jumped right down that desert sand. And I said, "God, you're going to look bad if you don't do something. You're going to look bad if you don't do something. Because I ain't leaving. I ain't quitting. I'm here to die or you come." It took 6 more months. But the story I just gave you earlier about the 79 showing up was 6 months after that night. Why? God wants us to be saved, established in the faith, strengthened and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wants to take us from this all the way to settled. Listen to the verse one more time. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Are you settled tonight? Seriously, are you settled? College students, are you settled? Are you looking for a way out? Looking a way to run home to mommy? Are you? High school students, are you settled? Or you just can't wait to get out, get away from mom and dad. You don't have to mess with this church stuff and this Christian school stuff anymore. Are you settled? Are you settled? Somebody asked me one time, said, "Preacher, you've been there almost 50 years. You've been married 55 years. How do you stay in a church that long?" And I said, "The same way you stay married a long time. You quit looking. I'm settled. Here's the problem. Hold on to God, buddy. Satan, pull him off this time. Oh, no! The devil won because he quit on God. The devil wins because he didn't get established in the faith. The devil won because he wasn't strong enough to hold on to God. And therefore, he can never be settled. I wish this was a sweet sermon. But can I tell you something, buddy? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do it just the way God wants to, if you want to. And you know what? You can be just as settled in God as your pastor is. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil can't do a cotton-picking thing about it. Amen. My question tonight in closing is this. Are you settled? Watch me carefully. Tough times do not last. Tough people do. But you're not tough without being what? Settled. Are you settled? Are you settled? And if you're not, why don't you get settled tonight? We've had a good weekend. A beautiful day today. Seeing people saved, seeing things happen. Don't tell me how tough you are. You let the devil and the world whoop you. Fellas, thank you.